Pastor Mike, this is how, this is the scripture that the Lord gave me for you today. This is from Proverbs. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens another. I feel like he's really been sharpening us this last couple weeks. So let's take advantage of that, the man that God sent to us to sharpen us right here today on Sunday. Pastor Mike.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, all the kindness everybody has given me and just reaching out and just different ways of expressing love. And it's been great to come and be with you. I wish I was here for another 3 weeks. It's awesome. And I'm looking forward to our time today. I know some of you were sitting back here from the beginning and thinking to yourself, I wonder if he'll get it right today. And we're going to do my best. I'm going to do my best to get it right today for you. We'll go, and I'm proud of you that you survived me for 3 weeks, okay? Right. Well, you survived me for 2 weeks. We'll see at the end of the service today whether you make it all the way. My message today is growing through honest reflection, or another way of saying it might be how God breaks our delusions. How God breaks our delusions. You know, I have an image of myself in my mind that bears no resemblance to what I actually look like. I don't know if some of you, it's a lie I believe about myself in my head that I basically look the same as I did when I was 30 years old. As a matter of fact, when I'm walking down the street sometimes and I'll be walking in front of a store, I'll glance over and see this person walking there in the glass. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I glance over, I look at the glass and I go, what? Who is that old lumpy man there that, you know, kind of a little overweight? And, you know, I think that, who is that? Sometimes in the morning I'll get up and go into the bathroom and look in the mirror and I'll call out to my wife and I'll say, that old man's in the bathroom again, because it's a shock to me. I look and I go, whoa, what's happening there? I can go a long time believing the image I have in my mind over the image in the mirror. And this is called delusion, or deceiving myself. That is, I think something is true that is not true. And I don't want you to mess with my delusions. How many of you know that's the case, right? I don't want you telling me that what I think is not right. I want to hold on to my delusion. I might even become angry if you start messing with my delusions at all. For example, when the doctor tells me I need to lose some weight or to exercise or this kind of thing, I want to continue. But the truth is, if I continued in my delusion, I could really hurt myself unless someone wakes me up with the truth. And this is so important for us that sometimes we have grabbed a hold of a delusion and we're holding on to this thing. And the truth is that if we continue in it, if we stay in it, the end is not going to be good. We need to be awakened. We need somebody to shake us up. And so James, remember James, you know, he was Jesus's younger brother. He's not impressed with all the things that impress other people. He's a very down-to-earth kind of guy. And so James is speaking to us in this, we're still in chapter 1. He's speaking to us in James chapter 1, and he's going after us on this issue of how does the Bible and how does the truth help me? How do I get awakened in this kind of way? Maturity, this is in your notes, is facing who you are and honestly admitting your need, right? You have got to do that. God can help you with whatever need you may have in your life, but he can't help you with your delusion because it's not real, right? It's not there. And he can't help you if you have an excuse for your need rather than a need, right? For example, let's say I have an anger problem. And I say, well, you know, the reason I'm angry is because I'm Irish, right? Now, if you are angry because you are Irish, what can God do, right? Nobody's going to be able to lay their hands on you and go, not Irish anymore. You know, you can't get delivered from being Irish. Are you with me? That is just who you are. But you can get delivered from your outburst of anger. See, and so if I cover things, I have these delusions, these ideas, I cover these things. And so James is speaking to us and he's saying, look, maturity is facing who you are and honestly admitting you have a need. James wants to teach us how to use the Bible to face the truth about ourselves, to break the power of our delusion so that we can get real help for our lives. Okay, so looking in your notes, right there in your notes there, I think you should have had a little note sheet handed out to you. It says, how do I receive the Word of God? How do I receive the Word of God? So the Word of God is going to help deliver us from our delusion. How do I receive it? Okay, James chapter 1, starting with verse 19. Let's read that together. This is what it says. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. So he's talking here, and we're talking about growing through honest reflection. That is the word, by using the word of God to help wake us up. How does this happen? Okay, so what does he tell us we need to do if this is going to happen? First of all, number one, he says this, be careful, be quick to hear God's word and slow to speak. And I'm going to add the little phrase, like a teacher. Right? He says, be a person who's quick to hear, but not somebody who is jumping in all the time, having to pontificate, having to say, well, you know, in all my years, I've learned that, blah, 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 you know. Be quick to hear, he says. Like a mother is quick to hear a baby's cry. I've been reminded of that again now as a grandparent to see my daughter-in-law's as they are, as they're so, they can pick up, you know. Eight grandchildren, seven and under. When they come over to my house, it is a little insane, right? Eight grandchildren. If you went into my backyard, you would think it was a preschool, okay? The place is like, I got every little toy they can bounce on and play on, stuff like that. But it's interesting to me, we can be sitting on the deck talking, and one of the kids, which it sounds to me just like a dull roar all the time, you know, when they're there. But one of the kids will start crying, and the mother whose kid it is immediately knows the cry of their child. She is quick to hear, on her feet, going down to find out what exactly has happened, what's going on, what's the situation. She's quick to hear. I contrast that with a dog that I had one time. I had this dog that, if he could see me and I spoke to him, he would respond, right? Like if I was over here and he was over there and he could see me, and I'd say, come on, boy, come on, come on, come on. He'd go, come right over, right to me, right? But if he was around the corner, still right there, but he knew that I could not see him with my eyes, I'd say, come on, boy, come on. And he would completely ignore me. Come on, buddy. He just sniffing in the ground and walking around. He would just completely ignore me until he knew that I could see him. Then he would act like, oh, yes, yes, I was coming, you know. And, right? And, you know, some of us, it just seems like that's, you know, he says, be careful, be quick to hear God's word and slow to speak like a teacher. Don't put yourself in the position of a know-it-all. Maintain a teachable spirit, he's saying. Be quick. And then he goes on and he says in this same little passage, he says, be calm or slow to anger over God's word. So you might say to yourself, why would the Bible make you angry? Well, the Bible would make you angry because the Bible will shatter your delusions. Just like the doctor shatters my delusions, or my wife says, hey, you're getting a little roll there, and shatters my delusions, right? Just like they would do that, and it could make me angry. So in the same way, that's what the Word of God does. He says, you know, you would say, well, why would I be angry with the Word of God? If you really listen to the Word of God, you might get angry. You might have a reaction because it goes after your delusion. You're saying everything is okay, and the Word of God is saying everything is not okay. You're saying we get along fine, and the Word of God is saying you're not getting along fine. You're saying we're doing the right thing, and the Word of God is going, you're not doing the right thing. And the Word begins to shatter your delusion, and you can become angry. I read a story of an African princess who was told by all of her people how beautiful she was. And an explorer came to be with this African tribe and as a gift gave a mirror to the princess. And she got the mirror and she looked in the mirror and she was like, she realized that everything everybody had told her was not true, that she was not the most beautiful. And she became so angry, she took the mirror and shattered it on the rock, you see. And that's the same way we are. You know, we think, oh, yes, we just love the Word of God. Oh, yes, we just, want to do what God, But when the Word of God comes and begins to speak into that thing, that lie that you have taken hold of, that delusion that you have grabbed a hold of, and speaking into that thing, sometimes we do not like that at all. We become very angry. So he says, be slow to anger. And then he says, be clean. Get rid of all moral filth and wickedness. What's interesting, that word filth there is actually the word for earwax. Now, my wife really doesn't understand earwax, but the Kavanaugh men, we have serious earwax. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and my ear is so filled up that literally everything has becomes muffled for me. And I can't just get, my wife has these little Q-tips. If I stuck a Q-tip in there, it would turn into a rock, an earwax ball in my head. I have to use a flush. I got to come here and flush out my head, spraying water inside my ear, until the wax, the filthiness, the earwax comes out. To really receive the Word, you have to deal with the filth in your life, the earwax in your life. Very interesting, we have a tendency to put preference on sight over hearing. But when you read the Bible, it's very interesting because the Bible puts preference on hearing over sight. It says you need to be able to hear the Lord, right? Not see the Lord, hear the Lord. You need to be able to hear. And it puts this emphasis on hearing the Word of God and, saying what you hear and acting on what you hear over and over again. To really receive the Word of God, you have to deal with the earwax that is blocking you up. The moral, as he says in the passage, the moral filthiness. I spoke recently to a man who was battling with a secret sin, and he confessed and repented it. And afterwards, as he was continuing to work with him and follow up with him, he testified to me that all at once he could see tons of other stuff that was going on in his life that needed to be dealt with that he had been absolutely blind to before. Why? Because his ears were filled. He couldn't hear the Lord speaking to him. Just couldn't get a hold of it. You're not going to be able to grow if you're living a lie. It blocks up your hearing. Be compliant, he says. Humbly receive the Word implanted that you can save your soul. He says, look, you gotta receive the Word. You gotta get a hold of it. Humbly, acknowledging that God is right and that He is working for your good. So he's giving us this, this picture of receiving or welcoming the Word. So he's saying, look, when you see the Word, look, I want to talk to you right now. Be slow to speak. Don't be quick to speak. Be quick to hear when you see the Word. And he's saying, look, you need to, if you've got any filth in your ears, anything that's kind of blocking things up, you've got to deal with that moral filth in your life. Otherwise, it sets the stage for this delusion that's going on inside you, this thing that's keeping you away from the real truth. And he says, and you gotta humbly receive the word which is implanted. You gotta say, okay, you God, you are right. I am wrong. Okay, I get it. I my wife's been trying to talk to me. You know, people around me have been trying to talk to me. Pastor's been trying to talk to me. People have been, you know, I receive the word that you're trying to give me. I hear that. How can I reflect on God's word in your notes, second part? How can I reflect on God's word? We're still in James 1, chapter 1. Believe it, all these 3 weeks we've been in James chapter 1. Starting with verse 22, he says this. But prove yourself the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. So he says, prove yourself to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. He says, but if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his face. The idea of looking here is a glance. He glances at himself. So he's standing in front of the mirror of God's word, and he glances at himself. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the law, at the perfect law, at the law of liberty, and abides by it. So he looks at it. He looks intently at it. He abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. So how do you reflect on God's word? How do you reflect on God's word? First of all, in your notes, we read it. We read it, okay? We look at this word. You know, mirrors in the Bible times were not like the kind of mirror that you have today, the glass mirror that we all are so familiar with and think of. A mirror in the Bible time was really a piece of metal that was polished to a strong reflection. The only way you had to stare at it intently. You had to really look at it to get your features and to see what's there. We have a little mirror. My wife has a little makeup mirror thing. It's a little frightening. Maybe you have something like this. One side of it's just a regular mirror, but if you turn it around, it's like seven times more powerful, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I'm glad most mornings when I'm getting dressed, my wife is still in bed, so I can't turn any lights on or do anything. But sometimes she's not there, and I go over and I flip that thing. Seven. I see things I have never seen before in that moment, right? You know, so we look at, we read it, and number two, we review it, okay? He says he must, verse 25, he abides by it, or he continues in it. He meditates on it. Now, some of you may be here, and you may think to yourself, I don't know how to meditate. How do you meditate on the Bible? I don't know how to do that. Everybody here knows how to meditate. You know what meditating is? It's worrying. Okay, how many of you know how to worry? Okay, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Except all you're doing is worrying about the Bible, right? That's how you're when you meditate, you're thinking about the Bible, right? But it has that same quality to it where you can't get it out of your head. You know what I'm talking about? When you let a worry get a hold of you and you just can't stop it, right? He says you got to meditate on the word. You got to worry it a little bit, right? Think it over and over. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. You know, I thought it was great. I was hearing the little reading plan that you are handing out for the summer. I do a reading plan, too. I wish I could say I read the Bible through every year for years and years, but the thing that really helped me was this little YouVersion that, you know, I have on my telephone. And, you know, every morning my wife and I, we you know, she has her little reading plan, I have my reading plan, we're working our way through the Bible. We review it, right? We continue in it. We abide in it. We're trying to, you know, we're in this. We're thinking about it a little bit, you know. And then number three, he says, so you got to read it, you got to review it, you got to remember it. Not becoming a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. So how do you remember it? You know, there are things you can do. It's one of the reasons I put out notes for you. Is, you know, you take a note, you stick it in your Bible. You know, most people can't remember what they heard in church on Sunday 72 hours later. That's not inspiring for the preacher. Let me just tell you that right now. Right? They can't remember 72 hours later. So anything you can do, if you can jot a little note, if you can do something to keep it alive in your brain just a little bit, right? Just to keep it going. I used to get angry, in myself that, you know, wow, people can't remember all that work I put into putting that sermon together, and people can't remember it 72 hours later. And then one week, somebody said to me, what'd you talk about on Sunday? Like Wednesday. What'd you talk about on Sunday? I thought, this is terrible. I prepared it, and I can't remember what I talked about on Sunday, right? I put that all together, and I can't remember what I talked about. Well, if I can't remember what I talked about, and I spent 10 hours putting it together, how is the average person ever going to remember what we talked about, right? So how can I respond to God's word? James 1:22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. He says, prove yourself a doer of the word, not merely the kind of hearers who delude themselves, right? But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. Now, a doer, what does a doer do? In your notes, it says he takes action on what he learns. So James is really into this. He is really into this idea that it's not all in your head. It's not some kind of spiritual thing up here. He says, are you putting it to work? He says, you want to know if it's for real for you, if your spiritual life is for real? Right? We might look around the church and say, well, who really here has it? Or maybe you even look at yourself. Do I really have a living experience with Jesus Christ? Is my experience authentic? Do I have a genuine encounter with the Lord? James says, it's very easy to tell whether you have a genuine encounter with the Lord. He says, one of the first things you see is this. Are you a doer or a hearer? The word here is auditor, right? I'm the president of a Bible school. You know, in a Bible school, when you have classes, you could have two different kinds of students that are in the class. You have the students who are taking the course for credit, and then you have a student who is auditing the course. Have you ever heard of that idea? When a student audits the course, it means that all they've committed to is to show up to the class. They don't do any of the homework. They don't enter into any of the discussion. They're auditing the class. That is, they're listening to what's being shared. And for this, they get a reduced price to take the class. They're listening to what's shared, but they're not actually doing anything in the class. Does that make sense to you? How many of you audit church? You don't do the homework. You know, you're auditing. You know, I show up. It's not too painful. I show up on Sunday morning. I'm sitting out there. You know, I'm giving a grade to the worship team. I give them an 8. You know, I like the words, but I didn't like the beat. You know, kind of thing. Preacher preaches, I'm evaluating the preacher, you know. I'm auditing. I'm not doing. I'm not actually trying to put it into practice. I'm not actually, you know, I'm auditing in that kind of way. You don't show up. You don't want to be questioned about it. I don't plan to do the homework. I don't want to take any of the tests. I got a copy of a book, Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Modern Bodybuilding. I love it. It's a great, big, thick book. I love this book. I carry it with me wherever I go. I have it in my car right now outside. I have a pocket version that I keep with me also of Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Modern Bodybuilding. I've memorized some portions of the book. I get up early in the morning and I study it. I've read it completely through 7 times, that book, Arnold Schwarzenegger's Modern Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. I've marked and underlined my favorite passages, and I'm convinced that through the study of this book, I am an expert in bodybuilding. The problem is that I've deluded myself. I'm self-deceived. For though I've heard the book, I am an auditor, and I have gained no blessing or benefit from it. Are you with me? Even though I've done all these different things, it hasn't really helped me because I'm audited. Are you auditing? Are your ears filled up with earwax? You're at church and everything like that, but the fact is you are not a doer of the word. People could say, you'd be the first one going, I love the Bible. I've got electronic versions, paper versions. I got all kinds of stuff here. I've memorized sections of the Bible. I get up early and read the Bible. All these different things. But the truth is, you're an auditor. So how, this is the next question. How do I know, in your notes, if I'm self-deceived? Right? Isn't that, you would think, well, this would be very, we're here all in this building, but how could we really know whether this person is the real deal or this person is not the real deal? How can you really be sure, even of yourself, whether you are or you're not? James says, super simple, no problem. I'll lay it out for you right here. And he tells us how you can know. James gives us a self-deception test. He says, I'm going to show you right now whether you're self-deluded or whether you got the real deal. He says, it's a very authentic thing. I'm going to show you right now. James chapter 1, starting with verse 26 through 27, this is what he says. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, come on, anybody like that in the room? Thinks himself to be religious? And yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now listen to me. I realize I'm doing this my last time speaking to you here because, this is uncomfortable, what I'm talking to you about. It's uncomfortable. Next week I won't be here. So you can't get at me. All right? And so, but. Listen to what he says. You think yourself to be religious. He says, but there are things that follow the life of a person who has an authentic experience with God. Do you have an authentic experience with God? Or do you have some kind of, you think you're self-deceived. You're delusional, like I am when I think of myself as being like a 30-year-old, but then look at myself in the glass of the storefront and realize I'm an old man. I'm delusional. See? He said, well, how do you tell? He says, it's simple. You take the self-deception test. There it is right here. Number one, do you control your mouth, your speech? He says, if a person says they're religious, but they do not bridle their own tongue. You know, I was speaking one time, I was trying to show this idea of how do you know whether you really have the power. James says, it's very easy to tell whether you have a real experience with God. He's going to give us. He says, it's very easy to tell. And it is very easy to tell whether a person has a real experience with God. You know, so, but anyway, I did this thing one Sunday. I had a piece of wire, like electrical wire, like you'd see in a house. And I had it running out, sitting out on the stage. And then it went to the back, and I had it connected to a 12-volt battery in the back. But nobody knew what it was connected to. But when I was speaking, I said, I want to show you right now this wire that I have. I said, I have it plugged into the back. It's connected to the 220 circuit behind stage in the church. It's connected to the 220 circuit. And to show you that it's alive, and I took the ends of it and I hit them together and, you know, all kinds of sparks went through. Everybody was like, whoa, you know. And I said, I'm going to show you right now the power in this thing. And I reached and I grabbed both ends of it. And everybody was like, right? But I knew it was only connected. But I grabbed both ends of the wire. And I said, okay, what do you know now from looking at this? Pastor Mike is stupid, right? Might be one of the things. But what do you know now by looking at this? Either what? Either he was telling the truth, and this is connected to 220, and the power is broken or something. Or he was telling me a lie. Maybe he thought it was connected to 220, but there is no way he could be holding on to it if it was actually connected. Right? You with me? So, you see, this is what James says. James says, look, he says, if you've got the real deal, if it's the real deal, it does something. If you're touching the real power, it does something. You're either touching real power or you're not. How do we know? Does it do anything? Is anything happening in your life as a result of this experience? Are you with me? Okay. So he gives us the delusion. He says, first of all, he says, do you control your mouth? Where is your speech at? Do you bridle your tongue? He says, if your mouth is filled with lying, cursing, gossip, slander, hasty words, questionable jokes, he says, then you know right away you're not growing. I'm not saying are you saved, right? We're not talking about are you a Christian or are you not a Christian. I'm assuming almost everybody in this room is probably a believer. But are you growing? Do you have a living experience with God? He says, if this stuff is in your mouth, he says, it doesn't matter what you say. The truth is you obviously are not connected up to the power. You're not in the position of being a growing person. Remember, we're not looking, are you in a position of being a Christian, right? We're all imperfect Christians here. That's not an issue. But are you growing? He says one of the ways you can tell whether a person is growing is you look at their mouth. Okay, number two, do you reach out to those in distress? Service, verse 27. Do you visit orphans and widows in their distress? I think of what we heard even today, the appeal, you know, would you help in this act of service, or this work of service? You're not thinking about it, but you're actually doing something to help people in distress. You're actually doing something. This is what he says. He says, do you reach out to those in distress, visiting orphans and widows in their distress? He says, if I see that coming out of a person's life, he says, I know that person, not that person is perfect. I know that person is in a position of having a growing relationship with Jesus. They can control their mouth, then I know, okay, they're in some kind of growing experience with the Lord. If they visit people in distress, if they do acts of service, they're related to them, I know, yes, okay, there's something alive happening inside that person. They're connected to real power. And then number three, do you compromise with the world? Separation. To keep oneself unstained by the world. Separation isn't saying no to the world. It's saying yes to your passion for God. So, he's, you know, James is, remember, this book is all about growing. We've been talking about growing through trials, and then last week we talked about growing through temptations. And now I'm saying to you, James is saying to you, okay, James is saying, maybe you're sitting here and you have a delusion. You think you're growing because you show up, but the truth is you're an auditor. You're not actually doing the word. And he says, this is not hard to know. And he gives us his test, a self-deception test. Do you control your mouth? Do you reach out to those in distress? Are you give yourself in service? And do you compromise with the world? He says, if these things are happening, then probably your ears are plugged. You're in a deluded state. You think yourself religious, he says, but you're not connected to power. You're not really touching power. Because when you're really touching power, he says, it's evidenced by some change that we see happen inside your life. I put a little quote at the end of your notes. It says this, the world is life without high callings, life devoid of lofty ideals. Its gaze is always horizontal, never vertical. Its motto is forward, but never upward. It has ambitions, but no aspirations. Right? There isn't this thing calling you higher, calling you forward in that way. Now, just like with the doctor, I don't know if you've ever had that kind of a doctor's appointment where the doctor says to you, okay, look, here's the deal. Your blood sugar is too high. Your blood pressure is too high. And if you don't lose 20 pounds, you're starting to live a life on a bunch of medication here pretty soon. Anybody have that conversation with anybody? How many of you danced happily out of the office that day? Probably not, right? Probably you said, whoa. Went out and sat in the car, and your spouse was there. And what'd the doctor say? I'm going to die. Because he says, unless I lose some weight, and I can't, I don't know how to lose weight. You know, it's not a comfortable moment, but it's the end of a delusion. And if you respond to it right, you actually become a healthier, stronger person. So I'm here with you today. And maybe for some of you, it's the end of a delusion. Maybe it's a very uncomfortable feeling you're getting because you're hearing the words that you just spoke the other day in a certain situation. You're hearing the flare-up of anger that you had in a certain circumstance. And as I'm acknowledging, you're looking at your life and realizing, gee, there isn't hardly any way that I give service to other people. And that whole issue of separation with the world, I found myself compromising in some way. And you're here right now and you're going, I thought I had this thing down. I thought I understood what a living faith was. But James is going, no. Living faith. You're really holding on to the power. Change. It requires a humility that causes you to go, oh Lord, I want the implanted word inside of me. Lord, I have a problem. It's not because I'm Irish. It's because I need you. I need the Word of God. And you come to a place of where you're saying, Lord, I want this. I don't want this to me to be just an auditor of the class. I want to be a person who is entering, experiencing your life. Why don't we just bow our heads and our hearts right now? Do that, just bow your head. James says it's not hard to tell whether you're growing or not. Whether you're holding on to the real power. Fact is, your life can be filled with religion. You think yourself religious. But speech is out of control. There are no acts of service, and your life is on the slippery edge all the time of compromise. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, and he's saying, hey, look, Jesus loves you so much. Jesus loves you so much. He wants you to have a living experience with him. Not something that you look back on and say, oh, years ago, the Lord touched me. He wants you to have a living encounter with him. Receive of his life, his spirit. We're never going to be perfect, but he wants you in the class, not as an auditor, but he wants you in the class as a full participant. Spirit is speaking. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you've sensed something as I've been sharing today, I want you just to lift both of your hands to the Lord. And when you're doing it, it's just a simple act of confession. It's just simply saying, you know what, I'm seeing where maybe I've been a little checked out. Maybe I've been auditing some things. I've got the book, but the fact is I'm not a doer of the word. I'm an auditor of the word. And you feel like the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and you want to just humbly respond right now. Humbly receive, he says. Humbly welcome the implanted word. Just lift both your hands. Just lift both your hands. Humbly receiving the implanted word. Lord, we just have our hands raised before you right now. And we just sense that you're not contented with the place that we've kind of found of peace, where we just kind of are auditing the class, but you're wanting to stir us up afresh and make this thing alive for us again. Make it so that we're growing. And Lord, though it's very uncomfortable when you come and remove my delusions, I invite it, Lord, right now. I welcome the implanted word right now. I welcome what's going to come next in the next few weeks through a couple of the folks from the church here. I humble myself. I'm not going to look at them and say, oh, well, what do they know that I don't know? I humble myself before them right now. And I say, Lord, give me the implanted word. Do something in me through what they share. I need you, Lord. And Lord, I look at some of the opportunities that are around right now for service, and obviously, there are things I can't do because of other issues, different time and talents and everything else. But Lord, if you will show me some places of service for people, some places of care, visiting widows and orphans in their distress, if you'll show me, Lord, I set my heart today. I'm going to set my heart to do those things. And Lord, where you've been putting your finger down, on areas of that I need some separation from the world in my life. I'm through playing games. I'm through just being an auditor. I'm going to set my heart to respond. And I may fail, Lord. I may not be able to do what I want to do, just like when the doctor tells me to lose weight and I stumble and struggle in that process. I may fail, but Lord, I'll tell you one thing for sure. My heart is set, and I'm going to continue to resist and continue to fight, continue to do bad. Thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you have something more you want to do in me, that I haven't aged out. I haven't gotten so far along that I just kind of say, well, that's who I am, and you know, at this age, nothing's really going to change. No, I'm not auditing anymore. I'm in the class, and I'm expecting you to do something fresh in me. I thank you for it, Lord, today. I thank you for it. Make us so alive in your presence. Make us so alive in your spirit. Make it so real to us, Lord, that even though we won't have the comfort of our delusion, we'll have the comfort of knowing that we're growing in you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just applaud the Lord. Can we do that? Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.